Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky. Kentucky, home of the world's, yes, the world's largest fireworks display. It's not Disney. It's not any of these other ones. The world's largest fireworks display. It's called Thunder Over Louisville. That's during the Derby festivities that we have here. This is the time to be here. Duncan Hines, too. Kentucky's home of Duncan Hines, the cake mix. And Duncan, by the way, is a guy. That's from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we are just full of all sorts of things here. Mammoth Cave. Longest cave system in the world and second oldest tourist attraction as well, right behind Niagara Falls. So lots going on here. That's why we're here. Hey, I was born and bred here as well. Well, tonight we are going to be talking about sleep paralysis from the movie, the documentary, award-winning The Nightmare. Director Rodney Asher is going to be with us tonight, as well as one of the guys featured in the film, Forrest Borey. So time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. You're listening to none other than Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. Tonight, we're going to talk about something very interesting, dear to my heart, as well as many other people's heart. It's an actually terrifying and, where you can use the true word, petrifying fear of something called sleep paralysis. We're basically talking about the film The Nightmare from Rodney Asher, the director of also Room 237, another great documentary. You know, you got to watch that one a few times. And then you might want to watch The Nightmare a few times, too. Those of you that have anything at all closely resembling sleep paralysis, definitely see The Nightmare and see if you have any type of commonalities with some of these people. Because in the documentary, basically, they talk through the eyes of, well, Rodney will take you through the eyes of eight different people that have it. And maybe you have something similar, or maybe you just want to learn something about it. But if you want to ask me, is it real? Is it not real? I'm going to tell you it's real. If you're a news person and you're trying to give a story and you're giving both sides, that's fine. But I'm someone in a position to say that's real. I've experienced it myself, and it is not just terrifying. It is absolutely petrifying, as I said. And it literally is, because you cannot move. You are in a position where, you know, a lot of people will say you're stuck in a dream and you just can't get out, and that's all it is. You know, you're just stuck. Okay, well, that wouldn't be so bad, because if you've had the other to compare it to, then you would know if you're just stuck in a dream, that's not too bad. But if you're stuck where your body cannot move and you feel the sense of something around you that is something that should not be around you, that's got a horrible vibe, absolutely horrible vibe, and you cannot run when your mind tells you to run and to get away and you can't even move to do that, it's the worst. It would remind you possibly of a visual of seeing an animal when an animal is scared out of its mind, and you don't, you know, you're not going to hurt it or anything, but it's scared out of its mind and it feels trapped. That might be the closest way that I can kind of describe it. So let's get into this. We're going to talk to the film again is The Nightmare, the documentary, and that is we're going to be talking to Rodney Asher, the director of that, shortly this evening. But beforehand, we're going to talk to one of the people that was featured in the film, and that's Forrest Borey. Forrest, he's a lifelong experiencer of all things. If you've seen the film, you know which one he is, and I really do recommend you take a look at it out there. It's amazing film. He did a really good job with it. We'll talk about that later. But Forrest has experienced a lot of things paranormal in his life, and he's also experienced some other unique things outside of the paranormal as frightening, and we're going to discuss that with him too. I'm going to let him bring that up to you, but he's also doing a documentary on that. So he is in the film world, too, as an editor. And let's bring him on. Forrest Borey, how are you? Thank you and welcome to the show. I know this is your first time on Coast. How are you tonight?
Hey, Connie. I'm doing good. Good.
Have you been getting some sleep recently?
I have. Mostly restful, thankfully.
Good. Okay. So you are featured in The Nightmare because of sleep paralysis. That's what we're going to talk to you about.
Great. Yeah. So I've definitely had a lot of that.
So can you, right. And you've got some incredible stories in the film. Can you describe sleep paralysis to us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've had it for so long that, you know, I had it before I'd even ever heard of it or knew that it was a thing. Basically what happens is you wake up from a dream, you know, at least with me, usually it's from a dream. I guess you could just wake up out of a deep sleep and you can't move. And all your limbs are just paralyzed. You can't move. You can't even breathe. You can't speak. You can't scream. And you want to scream because there's terrifying things going on around you. And sometimes it's you can't see anything or you can't hear anything or you just feel something's terrifying around you. But, you know, in my case, and I know the cases of many other people, you see things or you hear things, which are absolutely terrifying. And so you're stuck in there, you can't move, you're stuck, and then, of course, I've had it so many times, I've sort of developed some techniques on how to get out of it, so I do this weird little roll, out of it, and you wake up, and here you are, but, you know, you're still in your room where you were when you woke up, and you were frozen, and everything's the same, except now you can move. That's pretty much what it is.
So what are some of the things that you see that are terrifying?
Well, it was from my very first memory, actually, when I was actually still in my crib. I think I was maybe between 2 or 3 or something. I was almost verbal. You know, I was maybe babbling a lot, maybe had a word or two, but a toddler. And I don't remember if I was dreaming or deep sleep, but I remember waking up and I couldn't move and I was in my crib and I can still remember that memory. I can still see it, you know, the bars of the crib are all around me on all the sides. There's a window. My bedroom window was down there at the end of my bed. And then there were these two anthropomorphic creatures or beings at the foot of my bed whose skin was made out of a sort of static, a sort of energy that, you know, looked like static, like as if you took the static off of an old TV before we all went digital, you know, the old analog static signal.
You're talking like the look of Poltergeist?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Maybe they knew something, right? Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Never know. Yeah, of course. I mean, well, there's so many of those parallels between what people come up with and what's actually out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's sort of like had static, had coalesced into the forms of these anthropomorphic creatures, and they had these big black inky eyes, and they had these big black smiles, like, and they were laughing. You know, they had this kind of, ha, 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 kind of like, kind of a really weird, kind of terrifying laughter, and they were tickling me in my crib. You know, I remember their fingers coming down, they're tickling me, and it was like torture, you know, because it's like, you know, when you're getting tickled and you're like a little kid, you know, and you can't fight back, but people love tickling little kids.
It was
like that, only I was getting tickled by these, you know, these creatures.
And by the way, we have pictures of that on coasttocoastam.com. Please take a look at it, because Forrest actually drew what they look like.
Yeah, you know, Rodney, during the filming, you know, one of the things that he did was he asked me to, you know, draw some pictures of what I had seen or experienced. And so, I did a quick little sketch.
Excellent. You did a good job.
What it looked like. Oh,
it was freaky.
Yeah, it was very freaky. And then actually my parents came into the bedroom and they, because I was screaming, I must have woken up. I don't remember waking up or any of that. You know, I only remember that experience. And then it's just, black, because you don't really remember much from that time of your life. And then my parents came in, and I kept on saying the word Zines, like Z-I-N-E-S. That's what I called it.
Okay. That's what you called the creatures?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you think you got that from?
I don't know, but my parents, they said that they thought I was trying to say Designs. Hmm. Like designs on a wall or on an art or something. Like they were, because they weren't physical, There was nothing physical about them, Like when you see somebody, there's a physicality to them. But these things were very ethereal, So they were almost like designs in the air.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. How often did that happen to you?
Growing up, just about probably every night, every other night.
Wow. And were those the only creatures that you saw?
No. That was a real impactful experience, obviously. And after that, I wouldn't sleep in my crib anymore, because, then the next night, my parents tried to put me to bed in the crib, and I wouldn't do it. This is, of course, anecdotal. I don't remember this. But then they had to get me a bed because the crib just was not going to work for me anymore. I'd been traumatized in there. So they bought me a bed, and I do remember that. I remember them getting me the bed. But, it wasn't about the crib or the bed. It was, at least from what I believe, it was about the space.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very haunted house. And that bedroom that I had up on the second floor and the room directly below it, and then in the basement directly below it, was almost like a pillar of sort of spiritual or supernatural energy. Malevolent, though. Like, it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good. So what ended up happening is that as I grew up, I would get these crazy nightmares, and they would just be ridiculous, like almost like cartoonish. And then I would wake up into the sleep paralysis, and I would hear this man talking to me, and I never saw him. Well, not till later, not till I was actually much older. But when I was a kid, I never saw him. He was always outside my door, or down at the foot of my bed where I couldn't see him. And he would say things to me that would terrify, a little kid. He'd say like, "Oh, that one giant took the month club, and he's sending a spider up into my bed," or he would just shake the door handle, like rattle the door.
Just enough to frighten you as a child.
Yeah, and the thing is, the stuff he was saying was kind of dumb in a way, But I was a little kid.
Right.
It was kind of the kind of stuff that you would tell a little kid to scare a little kid, When you're an adult, you tell somebody something completely different to scare an adult.
Right.
Kids live in a world of symbols and images, and everything has so much more meaning and impact on them. So you can just say, "I'm going to send a giant spider into your bed." And if you told me that now, I'd be like, "Oh, really? What? It doesn't make any sense." But as a kid, the image of that would be terrifying. I also had this ventriloquist doll.
Oh,
I know. Well, the thing is,
it's scary in itself, Forrest.
I know,
okay.
It is. But when I first got it, I was just interested in puppetry or whatever, So I think my mom got it for me for Christmas, and it was fun at first. But there was really something as it was living in that room that it changed, and it was figured in a couple of my paralysis events. I'd wake up. And sleep paralysis, couldn't move, and I'm just kind of looking at this chair in my corner where here's a ventriloquist doll sitting on the chair, and its head kind of turning like lopsided, like dolls, just kind of flop down.
Yes.
And then its head would snap up and look at me, and things like that would happen.
It wasn't a Chucky doll by chance, was
no,
it?
No,
what was it?
No,
what did you
do? Of that movie, I'll tell you what. But then I... so we moved it out of my bedroom, and, I was still pretty young at this time, but we moved it out of my bedroom, moved it into the hallway. And then it lived there for a while, but even there, it started interfering with other people in the house because they didn't want to walk by it. And this was a thing that before was fine. Like, anybody could walk by it or see it, but it took on this more, just like kind of an eerier thing as it lived in that house. And so finally we threw it away. And then...
Did you burn it?
No, I wish, because it actually showed up my senior year of high school.
Towards
the end of it.
Wow, how did that happen?
Well, it was so bizarre because I got rid of it, and my parents were divorced at the time, and it was at my dad's house, and I got rid of it at my dad's house. But I was at my mom's house, and she was cleaning out her shed, and lo and behold, she pulled this doll out of her shed, the same doll, and it must have been in there for, you know, decades,
decades. Chills, wow.
Yeah, so it came back, and then finally threw it away, and I haven't seen it again. Since, but
oh, not yet, right? It might, yeah, you never know. These things do pop up like that. I have noticed a lot of things like that, right? Where you think it's gone, and then there it is out of nowhere.
Well, it's almost like a totemic object, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like when you, it's like with a doll, you know? Those things, they're almost like people, you know? When you make something so anthropomorphic, it takes on all those features and characteristics of a human. That's why when you see them out of the corner of your eye, you think they're, for a minute you're like, oh, is that real? Like, you know, is that moving? You know? And so I think that this thing just kind of soaked up some of the bad vibes in that bedroom.
Wow. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Forrest Borey here on Coast to Coast AM. He's featured in Rodney Asher's The Nightmare. Forrest, when it comes to sleep paralysis, what do you think it is?
You know, the science behind it or whatever, what they would say is that, you know, when you go to sleep and you dream, your body actually kind of shuts off your ability to move while you're dreaming. And the reason for doing that is because your brain and your body, they don't want you getting up and walking around and acting out your dreams, which is something that people with night terrors do, or people who have sleepwalking. You know, they'll do it as well. They'll actually get up and act out their dreams, or, you know, walk out their door and out of the street. So it seems like it's a very old function to protect us. So what they say about sleep paralysis, and I don't know how thoroughly they've studied it, because with a lot of these things, they just like to kind of quote unquote study them and then just kind of shove them aside. Like, we solved everything we need to solve about that issue. But so with sleep paralysis, it's like that function that's supposed to paralyze you while you're dreaming to prevent you from moving. Actually is still active after you wake up. So you wake up in a brain and a body and a nervous system that's actually paralyzed. But what I kind of take from that is that, you know, yeah, that may very well be true. But you're in that liminal state still. You're in this in-between zone. You know, you're not awake and you're not dreaming. You're in that middle zone. Where you can feel and you can kind of understand a whole other dimension of your environment in that zone. And at least that's what it was for me, is that, you know, I had this very haunted house, but not entirely, but for the most part, my interactions with that haunted place happened in that liminal sleep paralysis state, almost as if in that state I was receptive to a lot of the signals that were around me. So I think that that's actually what's going on there, you know, and what people experience, whether it's demonic or strange, is actually residual sort of echoes of, you know, or entities in that space. And you're just kind of like, you know, just like people are tuning into the radio now, you're tuning into that wavelength with your consciousness, because you're in this very unique and special place where you're not awake and you're not asleep. You're not meditating, you know, you're not hypnotized. You're aware, but you're aware of this space. So that's what I kind of think it is.
Okay, all right. Well, stick around with us there, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be asking you a few more questions for us, so don't go away. You know, it's how Forrest just described it. Everybody that experiences it describes it in a different way. And I think even with Force, we'll ask him when we get back, will describe it and probably has described it differently along the way and maybe changes his thoughts. I've seen that with a lot of people too. And if you talk to somebody like Dr. David M. Jacobs, who talks about abductions, he will tell you it's definitely alien abductions. they've got you out. They're doing what they want to do. And then when they're done with you, you're fighting to awaken from what they've done. And you can't awaken from it yet because they have that control of you. So that's a whole nother theory. I'll ask Forrest about that when we come back. And we're going to ask him a couple other things about fear, because that's what you're experiencing most is fear during that time. So we'll definitely ask him about that. And then later on tonight, we're going to be talking with Rodney Asher, the director of The Nightmare. And it's an incredible documentary, and it really brings things to life. So this is Connie Willis, and you're listening to Coast AM. Hey there, everybody. You're listening to Coast AM. This is Connie Willis here. Happy New Year, by the way. I didn't get to say that. Happy New Year. Thanks for ringing it in with me. Hope you've been having a great time and enjoying it, and hope you have a happy 2016 to look forward to. And if 2015 was bad, well, it's behind you now. So I do want you to be sure to check out coasttocoastam.com whenever you can. There's so many really, really good things on there, and it changes so much. We have some great guys that keep working on it and are constantly, you know, throwing in new pictures and this and that. And of course, you guys are also adding to the content, and we love that. But be sure you check out Beyond Belief. This is with Nori, and George has got some, I mean, the guy just, he's got the life, doesn't he? He is just having a ball talking to the best of the best and the biggest experts of all about anything really creepy, cool, and different and beyond. So speaking of beyond, it's called Beyond Belief. And you can check out his trailer for the TV show. It's his internet TV show. And you can also sign up for just 99 cents for the first month so that you can watch it and not miss anything and enjoy hours of fascinating past shows. So for those of you that have only heard him all your life, hey, check out Beyond Belief, 99 cents just for the first month. And go to beyondbelief.com. And of course, you can always go to the coasttocoastam.com and you can check it out. And right now you can see the trailer that we have there for you. All right, coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here discussing sleep paralysis, the subject of the documentary The Nightmare. One of the people featured is Forrest Borey. I should say, Forrest, that you're one of the victims of sleep paralysis. Did you hear what I was talking about before where Jacobs and a whole lot of other different people, Dr. David Jacobs, talk about this being ET and ET abduction? What do you think about that?
Sure. I mean, well, it's funny because, you know, so first I have this experience. I see these big black eyed things. They're tickling me. They're, you know, kind of molesting me, not sexually, but, you know, in that way, they're infringing on my, my body. So then I grow up, and I think probably when I was like 7 or 8, maybe, I saw Communion. It was on like HBO, and my dad let us watch whatever we wanted, you know, so I think he was even watching too. And at first the movie, it didn't really, you know, it was an eerie, creepy movie, but there was this scene in a bedroom, and there's like a dresser, like a bureau, and out from behind it pokes this alien head. And I'd never seen that before. You know, that was the first time I'd ever seen that kind of, you know, popular image of the alien, the gray alien or whatever, you know, the big eyes. And it just shocked my system. I can remember seeing that and just having it just like my whole body just shivering and shocking with that, because that's exactly what I had seen almost, you know, when I was a baby, when I was like a tabula rasa. So for a long, long time, I was convinced that I was abducted. I had a few other strange things happen to me too that continued to kind of solidify that belief. I was once at my grandmother's house, and I woke up late at night, and this is such a prototypical abduction experience where you see all the lights streaming in from the windows, and everything's like a little foggy and blurry, and you get out of bed, and suddenly the door blows open, and you're just engulfed with these lights, and then you can't remember anything. And then the creepiest one was I was in bed sleeping, and I felt something freezing on my foot, but it wasn't, it was like someone, like an ice cube, but there was no cube there. It was just the coldness of it. And I shot up in bed awake, like, oh, what was that? And I see at the foot of my bed, a thin anthropomorphic, very small, kind of like dwarfish kind of alienish silhouette, and I scream, and it runs out the door.
Ooh.
And so for, yeah.
For that's just time. As bad when you see it run away. It doesn't matter. It's still freaky.
No, I mean, so I really, I was positive I'd been abducted for a long time. You know, so I'd read all the books about it, and I even found some pictures recently that I'd drawn as a little kid. I wish I could find these again. They're around somewhere at my parents' house. But I must have been, maybe I was like 5, 6, but it was like a picture of me as a little knight. And then there was this wizard, but the wizard was like an alien, like had that clear alien face too.
Ooh.
So it was really an image that I was pretty, it was pretty integrated with me. So for a very long time, I thought that's what had happened to me.
Well, you know,
abducted.
Well, a lot of people say that whatever it is, if you do believe it is something outside of, you know, a lot of people think it's nothing, it's no big deal, and you're imagining all that stuff. But if you believe otherwise, sure. A lot of people say that whatever it is that's doing it has an intelligence enough to know what you're afraid of or mm-hmm. what might comfort you. So it could do whatever to scare you. Oh, and what you might think is scary to you, whether it's a doll or ET or you know, a witch or you know, whatever scares you, or maybe what you're reading and learning about, it you know, morphoses into that, you know, because it's in your brain, and whatever the intelligence is will know that, and then it will look that way to you. However, it can also try to be comforting to you and look like, you know, your aunt or uncle that passed away or somebody that was very close to you and comforting. So did you ever see comforting? What do you think about that? And did you also see anything ever comforting, or was it all evil and scary?
Well, I think it's pretty fascinating what you said, because it is very intelligent. You know, there is an intelligence to it, and, you know, I've seen ghosts, you know, they're not that intelligent, but I've seen demons, demonic things are brilliant, and they do exactly what you say. I have seen some more positive things, though, too, but not nearly as much as the negative things. And one of the positive things was actually what really shifted my belief structure about what was happening to me throughout my life. And what actually happened is I was up with a girlfriend and I was in this, very rural area, remote island off the coast of Canada, and, was out in the woods with her and we built this sort of stone circle, because we had gathered all these pebbles, these beach pebbles. And we just kind of felt like building a circle and just kind of hanging out in the woods. And lo and behold, we're hanging out for just a little while. And then I see in the distance this shimmery thing, like a woman coming out from the forest, like not physical again, totally just airy and ethereal and blue. It was like this turquoise, this semi-transparent turquoise coming out of the
wood. She's in the film, correct? That's the one you're talking
about? Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is in the film.
Okay.
Yeah. She comes out of the woods, and my girlfriend was, she was a little wild. She's got her eyes covered up, and she's just listening. And I'm just seeing this thing, and she's sort of relaying back the things she's hearing, and she's laughing, and it comes closer. It's only 5 feet away now, and it's there. I mean, this thing's real. Like, this is something I experienced, and there was someone there with me, too, and they were experiencing it, too, both of us.
Wow. Wow.
And so it's there, and it's just, there's not a bad thing about it, though. It's purely positive, and it's there for maybe, you know, 5 minutes, just kind of floating, and I'm just transfixed by it. And then suddenly I watch its head expands like an air balloon filling up and blows up into the sky, and then sort of returns to its body. But when it blows up to the sky, this is really important, it has two huge oval-shaped eyes and this little mouth. The same thing, like
right.
This blueness. And actually, when that happened, when its head became large, it was very playful. It was almost funny. My girlfriend, who's, again, got her eyes closed and is just listening, laughs and says, oh, my God, her head just got gigantic.
So she's seeing exactly what you are seeing.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And then my girlfriend says, oh, she wanted me to tell you something. And I'm like, what? And she said, to not be afraid of the demons that are behind you. And then I turned around and I saw these red faces just go, like almost breathe out of the woods. And again, the same face, but red. Like almost airy, ethereal, transparent, out of the woods, but red. And I'm like, whoa, and, you know, but it's like, don't fear it. And then the being, the blue being, spoke to me in my head, like a telepathy or something. I don't know. It wasn't words. I just understood. And it basically said that, you know, fear only emboldens and strengthens, you know, what's scary. So when you're dealing with beings and entities that are in a way pure fear, which are what, you know, the demonic is in a lot of ways, to be afraid is only to embolden and strengthen them, and you just give them strength. And so, yeah.
Wow.
Then she sort of vanished and receded into the woods, and the whole event ended.
Did your girlfriend also hear the advice you got? Or just
not my advice. I think that she was getting her own advice.
Oh, okay.
That she didn't tell me, but that was like my advice, and that was the only time. But what that kind of made me think is that, you know, we live in a very spiritual world. We live in a world that has a whole other layer of existence and entities that are below us and above us. I think that we give shape to them, like you were saying, almost this intelligence will also have them come to us in a shape that we can understand. You know, so
right.
Like being a more technological society, and it's highly likely that they would come in the shape of a visiting alien, as opposed to like a nymph or a god or a goddess or some sort of demigod or some sort of spirit, because we're very atheist and kind of society now. We don't believe in that stuff.
Let's just say they even came as the aliens that we all depict as aliens, maybe that's even, you know, what they really are not as well, you know? They just do that because that's what you think it could be. Even when you experience it, because I have myself, it's hard to explain to someone else that has not ever experienced it, because it's crazy enough as it sounds, but even trying to figure out what it is, it can take your life away to think about it, because you can't figure it out. But not only that, I don't think you ever will. And I remember at one point that I remember feeling it one time, and then realizing as it was happening, oh, here it is again, you know, because I didn't have it as much as you, obviously, but it was as though it was forgotten and gone. And, you know, you put it behind you because you don't ever want to deal with that again. And then when it happens, you're like, oh, my gosh, here it is again. And there's really nothing you can do about it. I know earlier you said something like you found a way to get out of it.
Oh, yeah.
What's the role? It sounds like with fire, if you're caught on fire, you drop.
Oh.
What? Now what? How do you get out of that?
Roll.
Right, that's it. That's right.
Yeah, it's like a bear attack. Just play dead. No, let's see. Yeah, I mean, it's really about, because your body, it's almost like your body isn't yours anymore. It's like you need to get your body back. Like you need to get your body, because you can't move, and you'll try and move. I mean, I think in the movie there was somebody who said they were just trying to wiggle their little toe or whatever, but I think that that's probably a pretty common thing where you're just trying to get your body back. And so for me, it was almost like if you're all bound up, like you're wearing a straitjacket and you're on the ground and you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to get to the other side of a room that you're trying to escape from or something, you're going to roll. You can't move. It's all you can do is roll. So I think I just started getting this pattern of this rolling. And in the beginning, it would take me a little while. It would be a real struggle. But now it's like I've done it so many times that I just go, boop, just roll right out of it.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Better or worse.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Forrest Borey, one of the people featured. Oh, I was going to say victim again. I don't always want to say you're a victim, especially when it's part of the film.
It's an experience. It is.
It
fills my life. And it was terrible.
And it still is. And it still is, right? You're still going through this.
Yeah, to a degree, but I think I've developed a lot of techniques to kind of tamp down on my paranormal experiences, just because they were not always pleasant, very rarely pleasant. So I do some things that keep them from.
What are those things, so other people can maybe use them themselves?
Right. Well, I think, you know, when you're afraid of something, you're fascinated by it. And so if you're fascinated by it, you're going to be thinking about it. So if you're in a house and you've got like a haunted room, or, you know, this area is weird, or your whole place is haunted, you know, you're fascinated about it and you're thinking about it all the time. And it's like what I had learned from that blue woman in the woods, is that you're feeding it. You're giving it energy. When you think about it, even, you don't even have to talk about it. You just think about it. So what I do now is I don't really engage with my space too much spiritually. You know, I know there's a lot of stuff going on in my house that I live in now. It's from like 1911 or something. It's an old place.
Right.
But I just don't think about it, and I don't engage. And when I see something, I just keep on moving. You know, I don't let myself get wrapped up in it. And what I've found is that when I do this, And I only really do this with like my living space, because this is supposed to be a peaceful space. You know, this is where I come to rest. This is where I come to mellow out. I find that when I do this, I really don't have quite as many experiences as when I'm like highly engaged with a space, or in a, you know, in a dialogue with a space, you could say.
Well, that's the advice that all the best speakers give, of, hey, you know, it's like if you want more wealth, prosperity, think of that. You know, if you want a car, yeah, think of that. So if you want fear, then stay engulfed in it. You know, instead, if you want out of that, think of something else more positive.
And, you know, these things are made of fear, Connie, some of them. You know, like in that house I grew up in, when I got a little bit older, actually, I had a few experiences where I would be in my bedroom and I wouldn't even be sleeping. You know, I'd be reading a book or something. You know, I was a terrible student, so I was always, you know, reading the 300-page book the night before. So I'd be reading my book, you know, like upperly late. Everybody's asleep. And suddenly I would be terrified. There'd be no reason for it. The book wasn't scary. There was nothing scary going on. I was maybe just listening to music and reading this book. Everything was fine. But suddenly paralyzed with fear, terrified. And then I would look over at what felt like the source, and I would see these kind of amorphous black, kind of like a blurry person, but so blurry you can't even make out their limbs or head or anything, of just this jet black, and it would just float there. And as long as it stayed there, I would be paralyzed with fear. It was as if it was made of fear. But it wasn't made of the subject of fear. It wasn't made out of ghosts or spirits or spiders or, you know, snakes or whatever you happen to be afraid of. It was just pure fear, emotion, fear. So you can imagine, if you feed that thing more fear, what it's going to give back to you. So, yeah.
And how do you think this is different, if you can tell me real quick, from an out-of-body experience?
Sleep
paralysis? Or is it? Yeah, or is it?
Oh, I honestly haven't had too many out-of-body experiences. So it's hard for me to, you know, personally draw a subjective comparison there.
Okay, well, that's fine. If you're just now joining us, we're talking with Forrest Borey, featured in the documentary The Nightmare. And we're talking about sleep paralysis, something that he's dealt with all his life. And I know that a lot of people say, well, you know, I do these out-of-body experiences, and it would be cool to have a sleep paralysis moment that is spoken about. And people like to astral project and things like that. However, when people do compare them, from what I've learned, well, you have control in the other ones, where in the sleep paralysis you have no control. And that's where the terrifying feelings come in. Not only do you sense something evil around you, but you cannot get away from it. You have no control whatsoever. So anyway, we're going to get back with Forrest Borey, talk a little bit more about him, and let's ask him how he feels the film depicted him, how he was portrayed, if he felt it was right on. All right, The Nightmare, the great documentary. I hope you get to check it out. We'll be talking with the director, Rodney Asher, a little later on, too. So you're listening to Coast to Coast AM.